The people have demanded it. Take two of the Take Two podcast, the second in the same
day.
It's not something that we see very often, but something major happened moments after we finished recording our podcast today. The massive tax overhaul bill was killed officially. There was a news conference that was called very quickly. Everyone was up at the Hill ready to hear what it was. The governor was there, the Speaker of the House, a lot of business people. And the word is the bill is not going to go through. No tax reform. Jim, I know that you were not a fan of it. Greg, I think we talked earlier that we thought it was going to die. One of the biggest questions going into this is, why do we need this? We keep talking about having surplus and a tax cut. So why do we want to tax people more when we're cutting taxes? Who wants to tackle this?
Let me try. Greg, you can. Greg's really the expert. He spent a long time. But the way the state sets up revenue, it comes in three big buckets. One is the income tax, one is property tax, and one is the sales tax. The problem is in sales tax. Sales tax revenues have simply not been where they've been in the past. Services, for a lot of reasons, let's not get into it. But the Republicans are going crazy. Their hair is on fire because the buckets aren't even. You know what? It's not a bucket problem. But that's all they can think about, is this structural bucket balance. And that's not what the issue is. The issue is, where is the revenue come from and how do we get it? Not that we get it in this particular bucket or that bucket.
Do we need a change, though? We're all in this world where we Marie Kondo and we want less stuff and we're buying less stuff. So do we need to tax different things to make sure that we have the money to pay for the services we need down the road?
I'm saying there's plenty of money if they would stop fretting. I mean, it was like a clown car today. All the Republicans who completely dominate everything in the Capitol standing there picking their nose and going, oh, we screwed this all up. We can't even run the thing ourselves. Boy, we didn't know it was going to be this hard. And then they always have a couple
show.
Of props.
I need a gong here.
I watched the news conference.
All right, Greg.
I didn't see any actual nose picking going
on.
There were a lot of people there. It felt like sometimes news conferences feel comfortable and they flow. It felt like there were some nervous voices up there.
Let me tell you, Heidi, it was disappointment. What you had is, there's too much in politics nationally, kicking the can down the road, letting the status quo reign, pointing fingers at one another. We've said on this program for a few weeks now, that doing something is harder than ignoring it. And they really did engage and try to deal with these buckets that Jim's describing. I'm sorry, this state has always been a pioneering state and a growing state. The infrastructure, the cost as your population grows, as more children arrive in your schools, as the state continues to grow and its budget grows, the demands on a state government continue to increase. If you don't have the general fund, and this is the part that I think,
which one is
hindsight,
the general fund, Greg?
Yeah,
which bucket?
Everything, so it's the property tax, the state portion of property tax, and the state portion of the sales tax. The income tax was created and dedicated solely in our Constitution for education. In 1996, it was not just K through 12, but extended to state institutions of higher learning, so higher ed. That income tax has been robust. We've heard the term surplus. Surplus has occurred in our income tax, but the general fund of property tax and sales tax, we are not seeing surpluses. In fact, it is not keeping pace with the population and the growing demands on state services. And I'm talking public safety, I'm talking transportation, health and human services. You look at anything that isn't education, and that's what you look to have your general fund or your property tax and sales tax pay for. It's not doing that job. And I think in hindsight, as much of it as a profile and courage to take this on and see this structural imbalance, I think the public, they were hearing things like record surplus, more money than what was expected. They were hearing tax cuts and then hearing the creation of new taxes. And I think that there was a fundamental confusion with the public.
Let's tackle a couple of those issues, because people have been talking to me on Twitter tonight, teachers saying, we came out strongly against this. We're glad we won. We don't want this. We need the money in education. Let's talk about teachers. Will education be getting less money if this were to pass down the road?
Yes, is the answer. The education fund comes from income tax. That's their bucket. And this plan lowered the income tax. That's it. and there would have been less money in there. And then they always say, oh, but we'll make it up somehow, somewhere, blah, 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 blah. So, the facts and the loss was clear. The bill said income tax would go down. So you end up with this highest 1%, are fabulous, and I, you know, this is nothing personal against the Romneys, but they represent 19,000 Utahns who make more than $500,000 a year. For them, a windfall, because income taxes are going down, so the education fund is going down. Just since we went to the flat tax, we're losing $322 million directly from our classrooms into the pockets of the richest Utahns. I'm not against rich people. Jim,
but they're probably Jim, the businesses Jim is, that feed into the tax base too,
no,
correct?
It's individuals.
But no, look, Jim is re-arguing the tax reform of 2006.
Which was the Huntsman says, tax which, reform.
Yes, yeah. And he's saying that the flatter tax should have been more progressive and we should have a higher income tax.
Yeah.
I would say if you look at the revenue and you look at the economic success of the state, this flatter tax, because if you make more, you pay more because it's a flatter tax, but mm-hmm. it's a 5% of $1 million is a lot bigger than 5% of $20,000. I mean, it's a simple concept. It's worked well. That isn't the issue. And I'll tell you, when you talk about will this hurt education, we had a time where general fund, the property tax and the sales tax of the state that was collected, was all the funding for higher ed
mm-hmm.
up until 1996. If you can recover that, if that general fund of sales tax and property tax can represent a greater portion than it has now, higher ed could be funded as it has always been to some degree, but that's got, you can use that general fund that you're raising for higher ed, which leaves more money for your K through 12 schools. And so that's why the superintendents.
So colleges would come out of a different bucket.
That's right. And that would be out of that general fund bucket. That's what it used to be. And that's what you could start to do again, leaving more money for our schools. And I'll tell you why that's not just an empty promise. In that same meeting or that same hastily called press conference, you had Terry Shoemaker, who is the president of the Association of Superintendents. You had Association of School Districts. You had the stakeholders of public education, not the union, mm-hmm. not the teachers union, but the other stakeholders of education that saw the merit in this reform and believe that there needs to be more general fund in our higher ed schools so that more of that property or that income tax can be used in K through 12 schools. It would do
Greg,
the very thing that Jim
people
says is
are
not going
to swallow that it's, yeah, right now we're taking money out of the education fund, but don't worry, we're going to put it back. I'll tell you something else, and this may be a little bit in the weeds, but in that sales tax bucket,
okay,
one of the issues is the legislature keeps earmarking sales tax. That means certain groups, certain lobbyists, they get their money out no
like
matter what.
Like transportation or water.
Like transportation
or
yeah,
water.
And water. So these special interests are sucking off everything that sales tax fund, and it isn't there for the general.
Do you find
use.
Your commute time to be a special interest or a general cause to try to get to work or to work?
You know, well,
do you find water to be a special interest?
Why?
I'm going to tell you, I think we need some water.
Water is
in this
important.
Arid state. It
why
is not a special
why
interest.
Why shouldn't we be paying for roads with the fuel tax, with the people who are using the roads? Why would we take general fund
money? We take all of it.
Money?
It doesn't cover
it's
the amount.
It's a $600 million shortfall, so the taxpayers are subsidizing the use of the roads. I thought you Republicans would be for use tax.
We have reformed our gas tax. We've looked at it as a rate, but as you see that the cost of gas has dipped just under $2, it is a percentage of that, so we're not seeing that fund. In the 90s, Heidi, that gas tax at a cent per gallon paid for everything. It paid for the maintenance of the roads, the expansion or reconstruction of new roads, and even the highway patrol. Today, as Jim just pointed out, $600 million in the red. It doesn't cover these issues of a growing state that needs a more robust transportation infrastructure system. So that's why you see some of that general fund and sales tax earmarked for transportation, auto-related sales tax earmarked for transportation.
So the people on the UTA bus are subsidizing through their sales tax the people that are using gas-guzzling cars on the freeway. The Republicans, I thought, would be in favor of a use tax.
Isn't that sort of where we all pay for education, even though you don't have children? Is it sort of the same thing where you're building
up a community? Well, if you want to put children on the same as gas-guzzling cars,
no,
then it's okay.
No, not really, but I have to put my kids in a car. So that's what I'm wondering. You know, is that how you spread the wealth, I guess? So what do we do to go forward? Because today we saw all kinds of people from different parts of business up there. I've heard radio advertisements for radio and television saying if we start taxing these local businesses, the mattress owners who advertise with us, or the owners of Arby's, then it's going to hurt local businesses. There were people up there who did taxes who said it's going to hurt me. On Twitter, I saw Citi saying we can't do this because we'll have to raise our taxes. So how do you move forward with this? Because everyone says not in my backyard.
Let me pull the curtain back a little bit. There's a term that some of us use. So by design, it's easier to kill a bill than to pass a bill.
True.
I mean, and it should be that way. But there is a term called fog of war, where you can incite stakeholders and you can start to chip away or have some say, I like all of it except for the part that impacts me. And you can start to see that provincialism start.
Yeah.
And then they start to ignite. And it can get so chaotic, especially when you're talking about one of the shortest general sessions in the United States, the 6.5 weeks that our legislative session is, you know, is in session. But you can't, that's not leadership, and that's not going to solve this problem. So you can do that temporarily. We can see what we saw today. I think there's an acknowledgement. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. Everybody's a human being. There was great feedback. Once people saw the issue, we try to lay it out a little bit here. Once people see what the dilemma is, and it is one, it's not one for today, but it's coming maybe even in the next year. There are ideas being proffered, but when you just the mechanics of substituting a bill, getting it ready for the floor debate, it takes time and they're running out of that time. And so I think what you see with legislative leaders, business leaders, even stakeholders from our public education system saying, we are going to continue forward beyond the end of this session to continue to do what they're doing now. And I wouldn't be surprised, this is my prediction, that you could see a special session called where they would tackle this tax reform in a special session. If you wait till the 20 general session where everybody signs up for re-election in the same month of March that they're getting out.
You can't get anything done that
the
month.
The merit and the math won't matter. It will all be politicized in a way that I think it'll be hard to see the reform that the state actually needs.
Jim's making faces.
Lousy, lousy leadership. They fired, then they aimed, they didn't check. One thing about the Utah legislature and the governor, they don't have a pulse on the people. The whole session, they were against propositions. They were standing against where the people of the state of Utah, this is another example, we know it, we've got it, we're arrogant, we don't have to worry about elections, we're in charge, and they went off half-cocked, and today there was just utter anarchy up there. We don't have any tax program.
Let me just say this.
It's bad leadership.
Heidi, he just keeps dragging me into every one of those propositions. The will of the people has been honored. But let me just say this. We tried very hard to talk about some of the dilemmas that we have in terms of the pots of money, the general fund, the education fund that's the income tax. But there is only one public servant in this state that can have a conversation with the people of Utah and really lay this out better than even me.
So the governor needs to do this.
I'm not Jim.
The governor of the state of Utah with a very, very high approval rating. With the bully pulpit that can, through traditional media sources as well as social media, have this conversation, describe what we're talking about here in this episode. But he has that political capital. It needs to be spent and it needs to be discussed at length. And that is really something that the legislative branch is not equipped to do as well. The governor of this state has to lead that discussion and has to be the one to hear from the public. That has to happen from the administration, and I don't think you get an argument from them looking at how this fared, but the governor and his administration is going to need to lead out on this and talk to the people in Utah about kind of the situation
good
we have.
Good luck on that.
Okay, so is this something new, or do we have a case study to look at another state that maybe has tried to move their tax base like this? Is it a new Utah idea, or are other states trying something
like this? So, no, there's states that have tried it and have failed. But what is unique about Utah is that we dedicate our state income tax solely to education. And other states have the ability to take their state income tax and spend it in other areas. This was only created in the throes of the Depression, really. The legislature back then, with very limited resources, created a new tax, a state income tax, dedicated to our children, our students.
And it was K-12 then.
Yes.
And now then, it's been expanded.
And then in the 90s, they put higher ed in, and the K-12 has never recovered.
And look, if you
but
take-
But you're a Democrat. You want to give everyone free college, though, right? So we need more money in that bucket. No?
Yes.
I love that question, yes.
We
yes,
would definitely do. Like a free junior college for every Utahn. And you know how we'd pay for it? Let's take away that subsidy that the legislature just gave to Energy Solutions and the $70 million special taxes. We could pay five times for kids' college tuition just on what the Republicans give away to their corporate buddies.
There's no giveaway there. I don't even know. We can't go there.
Right.
He's baiting
That's
me.
That's a whole other podcast
He's
for another
me.
Day.
He's
okay.
baiting me.
Final word from each of you. Greg, you're first.
Okay, I will just say this. We have a dilemma. But it is one where you are seeing leadership shown in terms of trying to tackle this, not when you're in the event.
Yeah.
They have tried, they have begun the dialogue. You're going to see that dialogue continue forward, which it needs to do. And I believe that's hard work. But this state, I think we should take comfort. When we look at other states or we look at Washington, D.C., the brand of public service and politics here in this state, I think is unique. I think people are coming together trying to find those solutions. I know Jim doesn't agree. I mean, I can feel his look, but I'm telling you, this is an important process, and I think as the governor, with his bully pulpit and his high approval rating, can really engage the public at large, the legislature is ready to do the heavy lifting, but it's going to take that robust effort moving forward, and I think that's why you saw today's press conference. It needs more of that time and work.
All right, time and work. Can that make it happen for you and your friends?
No planning, utter anarchy. The governor came out in a State of the Union and just made up some number about we're going to lower the sales tax to 3.1%. There was no plan. There was no planning. And thank goodness that cooler heads of the public prevailed and squeezed the legislature. Otherwise, they'd have us marching off some cliff that was unplanned. It was anarchy. And to pat them on the back is a big mistake.
All right, if this is anarchy, it's not that bad. There's nobody in the streets trying to eat our faces off. What are those things called? Zombies.
Yes, there's no zombies in
when
this.
When I see
Thank
anarchy,
you.
I think about zombies. Yeah. And I haven't seen those
well,
yet.
Well, get up to the Capitol
Wait
more, Heidi.
You'll see them. All right, thank you both of you for coming back tonight. Thank you for listening. We will continue this conversation in next week's Take Two.